getting you home quicker.
This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105.
It's 5:33 almost, and welcome, of course, to Rob and Lawrence, who are here, as always, every fortnight to look at matters tech. And what are we going to be talking about this week, guys?
Well, I think you've slightly sort of brought the excitement levels up a little bit more than maybe is reasonable to expect.
I only mentioned an edition of Bookmark referring to literature, which was a little bit racy.
Right, okay. So
I mentioned that there was a toothbrush involved. That's all I said.
We will be talking about electric toothbrushes, but of the literal variety. But that's an other...
So are they on book... But anyway, I want to carry on.
I'm sure, Julian. I don't know what else you might be talking about.
Podcast on the website.
Yes, indeed. But we'll be talking about personal care gadgets. First of all, though, we'll have a quick look at some of the tech news. And I guess to start off with the rather exciting one, if you're an Android phone fan or even a smartphone fan in general, is the launch of the new Nexus 5. So this is the latest in the Google line of smartphones.
Yep, so made by LG like the Nexus 4 was. 16-gig models, 32-gig models come in white and black as an option. So all the people who wanted a white one can have a white one now. 16-gig model, £300. 32-gig model, £340. So not a major premium for the double of the RAM. Interesting 5-inch screen, so an inch bigger than an iPhone.
They're just getting bigger and bigger. Are we just going to get rid of smartphones and just go for tablets in the end?
Yeah. Also, a lot more pixel per inch. So 1920 by 1080 resolution at 445 pixels per inch.
I am wondering, sorry guys, but you do have the scenario now where there a lot of people, myself included, will carry around a tablet and a phone. And actually sometimes they'll carry around a tablet, a phone and a computer. But the size of the phones are getting larger.
And the tablets are getting smaller.
The tablets are getting smaller, and at some point you kind of feel they're going to meet in the middle.
Well, they sort of have now, because these larger smartphones are up to the 5-inch ones, and tablets, the 7-inch, is probably one of the most popular sizes. So it's only kind of left that one 6 inches
and
in the middle.
And I wonder, is there a convenience point to this, that people actually want a slightly larger phone, or is this just a trend which is forced upon consumers by the manufacturers?
I think it's a trade-off, because the larger the screen, the more rich interaction you can have. So you can much more easily sort of reply to emails on screen and type properly. But you're trading that off against what fits in your pocket or your handbag.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, so comparing that to an iPhone 5, or the 5S, the brand new one, which has got a 4-inch screen at 1136 by 640 resolution, so 326 pixels versus 445. Makes you wonder how Apple can keep calling it a retina display, doesn't it?
Well, once it's good enough, then it's good enough.
Yeah.
Your eye can't see any more than that, so in a sense...
You probably find some people would argue that, optometrists and so on. Anyway, also an image-stabilised camera, so first smartphone with an image stabiliser on the camera, and built-in HDR plus mode, so that's high dynamic range, makes your photos look better as far as the contrast for light and dark, better night shots and so on, as well as better outdoor shots. And then it's 4G capable.
So this is the new LTE 4G super fast mobile data, effectively, isn't it? If you live in one of the right areas.
Yes, Cambridge not being covered just yet.
But there's good news for Apple fans as well, because there's the new iPad Air, isn't there?
Yes, so this is their latest incarnation of the iPad. And excuse me while various things log out. Right, so 7.5 millimetres thick, so 2 mils thinner than the iPad 4.
Which was already fairly thin by previous iPads, wasn't it? It was compared to the original one, certainly.
Yeah, and the Wi-Fi only model, 469 grams. You add about 20 or 30 grams for the 3G.
And a bit of a queue in the Grand Arcade, I noticed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Oh, they'll have pictures. Every time Apple launch a product, you can guarantee there'll be a picture in the Cambridge News of lots of people queuing outside the Apple Store.
How much do you get paid to go and queue at the Apple Store to be the crowd?
Are you implying?
Anyway, the iPad Air starts at £400 for the smallest amount of memory and the lowest number of radios, and then goes up steadily in fairly large increments.
Now, there's good news if you're into your gadgets, though, because this was something that was in the news earlier today, I think it was. The FCC, which is the American Federal Communications Commission.
No. FCC.
Yep, FCC, are looking at changing some of the regulations. Now, this applies to America, but usually this sort of thing will filter out internationally.
That was in conjunction with the FAA.
Yeah, FAA, the Federal Aviation Authority, are changing the regulations that that determine what you can use during the takeoff period of a flight. So if you're on a flight, you're used to be able to using your Kindles and your iPads and so on once you're in the air. But at the moment, until you have the seatbelt turned off, you can't use them. That they're changing so that you'll be able to do that as long as you're not using them while they're doing the safety briefing.
Now, that's very interesting. I've already been on a flight where that has been allowed. It's the British Airways flight, in fact, a couple of them,
right,
over the last couple of months. And I noticed the distinct difference, because personally, prior to that, I feel that people who break the regulation should be actually thrown off a plane and not allowed to fly again. But they're now actually, they definitely seem to have relaxed those regulations already for the last couple of months.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things that everyone sort of knew that there was very, very, very low risk of anything adverse happening.
If any risk.
But the regulations hadn't caught up with reality, effectively.
I don't know if I've told you the story. I went on a test flight once, which was for broadband internet in the sky. And the plane took off from Gatwick. It went round in a circle over to Ireland and came back again. And during this time, we were testing this broadband, which was available. And it explained to me by one of the engineers, a Boeing engineer, I think, who simply told me that, it's fine, other than in absolutely extreme conditions.
Yep.
Any phone, not that I'm suggesting that people go and do that. But I think there seems to be interesting evidence on that one.
Yeah, and it's more the mobile phones thing is actually a separate issue. So you still have to turn off the cellular part of any device. And that's for a different set of reasons. That upsets the mobile networks because of some of the traffic that causes. But yes, in terms of using your Kindle, not a problem anymore. Anyway, we've had a few lawsuits in the news as well, haven't we? Everyone's suing everyone again this week.
Yeah, as usual. So currently Nokia are suing HTC and are trying to get the sales of HTC One stopped in the UK.
Now, this seems very much, well, if they're not going to buy our phone, then we're not going to let them buy yours either.
It does seem a little bit spiteful.
So there's that. And then the Rockstar Consortium, which is made up of, bizarrely enough, Microsoft, Apple and others, are all going after Google and Samsung and others.
So yeah, a bunch of patent infringements, and some of it's around mobile technology, some of it's around stuff that only occurs in cell phones, some of it's around stuff that occurs in tablets, and yeah, it's a whole lot of finger-pointing about, you stole our stuff.
Not so good, I guess, unless you're a lawyer, but generally speaking, for everyone else, is just everyone sort of throwing lawsuits at each other until someone gives up.
Yeah.
Other than that, if you work in the IT industry, then the latest version of the server version of Windows is out. So this goes with Windows 8.1 that you might have heard of a couple of weeks ago. They've now bought that up on their server line of products as well, 2012 R2.
And basically it adds back a start button again.
You do get your start buttons
back. Okay, they have, in the server edition, added a lot more than just the start button.
Yeah, that's fair. There's more stuff going on there.
And the last one in the news that's still an interesting mystery is Google's floating container buildings.
Now, I wonder if this is sort of floating data centres or something like that, because data centres, where you host all of the servers that run Google and Facebook and all of these big services, cooling is the big deal.
Yep.
And they've been, for ages, they've been putting them in cool climates, they've been putting them next to hydroelectric plants, all of that sort of thing, to try and keep these power and the cooling costs down. I wonder if this is the next logical step. You run your cooling towers into the river that you're sitting on.
Well, they're sitting on ocean instance. But yes, I mean, that does make a fair bit of sense, doesn't it? I mean, there's thoughts that they might be interesting demo areas where all of their Project X, which is Google's top secret projects that spurn things like Google Glass and so on, are being trialed, and possibly areas that they can show investors and customers.
Be interesting. Watch this space and see what happens. Right, onto personal gadgets now, and we've got a few. We'll come to the electric toothbrushes in due course. Zoe's sitting in the corner looking slightly confused by it. But maybe a bit more seasonal. Obviously, it's coming into winter. It's now 5:40, and thoroughly dark outside. And with more and more people living in offices, effectively almost not seeing daylight from when they arrive at work to when they leave. That can have some health impacts, can't it?
It can, and they have proved that there is a condition called seasonal affective disorder, which is basically lack of sunlight. And it occurs more in countries that have a lot of dark hours. So anything pretty much north of the middle of Europe certainly suffers a lot more with people experiencing this disorder.
Well, my Swedish friends, for example, get
even less,
quite maudlin.
Yeah.
And it's basically getting grumpy in the winter, isn't it? But for good reasons, yeah, is when you don't have enough sunlight.
So on the gadget front, there are a whole lot of seasonal disorder, affective disorder lights available. And they basically come as alarm clocks that will illuminate your bedroom from when you'd normally expect there to be a sunrise. So it gives your body the sense of the room being lighter.
Are these things like alarm clocks where they sort of gradually lights up as the morning appears, or even ahead of the morning, really?
Ahead of the morning. So more on summer-type daylight rather than winter daylight to give you that extra bit of light.
And also the right sort of light. So it's not just the same as flicking the desk lamp on a little bit early. It's a different spectrum of light. So it's shifted more towards the blue end of the spectrum rather than this. If you compare a desk lamp like we've got sitting next to us in the studio to daylight, this is much, much more yellow, much more red end of the colour spectrum.
So more of a natural light is coming
exactly.
for these.
Exactly.
I don't quite understand why light bulbs don't have natural light most of the time.
You can, but it doesn't make your food look as tasty.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you try too clinical.
Yeah. If you try and eat a nice roast dinner under fluorescent tubes, it looks very unappetizing.
So okay. Try it next time.
I think I might, actually. See if you're right. You usually are.
Talking of roast dinners, perhaps if you've had a few too many of them, the next one up on our list is some digital scales and fat meters. Now, of course, everyone's used to the usual bathroom scales as we've had for many years. But now more and more of them have got built-in measurements of body fat, haven't they?
So, yeah, you get two. There are two metal contacts that you stand on the scale where it's going to weigh you. And it passes a very small electrical charge through you and works out basically how conductive you are, which can then be used to work out how much body fat you've got, how much body water you've got. From those can be determined muscle mass, bone mass, and body mass index. As long as you've set things that are quite important, like male or female, how old you are, and how tall you are. Because obviously the taller you are, there's more weight of you vertical as well as potentially horizontal.
It's a bit like me having exactly the correct weight for somebody who's 8 foot high.
That's okay. Just get some high heels, Julian. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I mean, the measurements aren't entirely accurate or scientific. They are guidelines, but they are something that you can at least use as an indication of whether that diet is working. Some of the more advanced ones have an athlete mode or a child mode, which allows you to set it for shorter, smaller people and also for people who have extremely low body fat levels.
Now, keeping on the health thing for just a moment, and then we'll take some musical break. There's a couple of other health-related gadgets, aren't there? The blood pressure and blood glucose monitors.
Yeah, so things that you'd normally have had to go to the GP before to have checked, like your blood pressure and your blood glucose levels, can now be done with a digital device in the home. A lot of these can be prescribed by your GP, but picked up in the bigger pharmacies as well.
Yeah, or even electronics shops like Maplin's do blood pressure monitors. So yeah, if you're worried that your blood pressure is actually just going up because you're in a doctor's and they're all running around in lab coats, you can actually do it at home.
Yep. And some of these let you download the information to your PC and then email it into your GP.
Well, now, though, it's back to the Gadget Guide. Rob and Lawrence are here, and it's sort of personalised gadgets we're talking about.
We're finally getting to your main feature.
Yes, it's the electric toothbrush. and this is probably the personal gadget that most people are more likely to have over the blood pressure or blood glucose monitors or anything like that. And these things are almost becoming ubiquitous now, really, aren't they? You can get them very, very cheaply for the basic models.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, your dentist is going to say, get an electric toothbrush.
The price does vary, though.
Yes.
Which is I find, and I don't quite understand. Hopefully you're going to explain why.
So most of them start at around £20 for a basic handle and a brush head. The main brands being Oral-B, Philips and Colgate. There's a bunch of own brands from some of the leading supermarkets and pharmacies, but you probably find they're made in the same factory as the leading brands anyway. And you can spend, yes, rightly, up to £130 on these things for the higher-end ones. Now, those then include extra features and accessories, which we'll get to in a sec. But like any toothbrush, there is a part that's going to wear out the most, and that's the brush head, because you are scrubbing your teeth with it. So those cost anywhere between £2 and £5 each, normally come in packs of four.
And the usual thing, yeah, is change it every 6 months or however often. Some of them got their cunning sort of wear indicatory bits on them.
But to change colour based on use.
Yeah, but also do watch out for the fact that as well as the brush head degrading, they will also, the battery will actually degrade. So a lot of these, because they have to be used in a waterproof environment, The battery is actually sealed in, so you can't replace the battery necessarily. Some of them you can.
I've noticed that with mine. I do find I have to charge it up more now,
yep,
more frequently, in order to get that really heavy-duty brush. And I'm wondering if it's kind of getting to the stage when I'm changing the head regularly, but there's other elements of it, and it's time to start changing the whole unit, really.
Yeah, there are mechanical bits that do wear out. Now, if you've stuck on a brand, say if you've picked one of the main brands, Oral-B, Philips or Colgate, like that, and you've got the investment in the brush heads, you'll find that the latest version of the handle will use the same brush head still, so you don't have to worry about, oops, I've got brush heads I can't use up.
Now, watch out as well, just in terms of cost. Often, they're actually on offer. So, although something that might come in at maybe £50 sort of ticket price, just keep an eye out. If you're thinking of switching to an electric toothbrush or replacing one that you've got, just when you're going into the supermarket for your normal weekly shop, just make a point every week, just walking past the aisle, and quite often they will have one of them on half price or two-thirds or something, and very, very often.
Same in the big pharmacies.
One of these things on perpetual offer.
Yeah, not quite perpetual, but regular.
Well, legally you can't, but that's what you mean.
Exactly, but it's in the same way as razors, the disposable razors, and we'll come on to the electric ones briefly in a moment. The disposable razors, they want to sell you the razor and then actually make the money on the blades. To an extent, it's true of the toothbrushes as well. So they want you to buy the whichever brand toothbrush, because then you then have to buy all of the heads for the next 2 years or something. So do watch out. You can often get it much more cheaply than the list price.
But if you're using a regular brush, you're going to have to change that anyway, aren't you?
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, now the best place I found most of these priced up is actually on Amazon. So I've made a shortcut, which you can go to by going to bit.ly/NOV for November 13, the number 13, GG for Gadget Guide.
If you care to forward that to me later on, I shall add that to the podcast page.
You can tweet that as well. That's the Amazon subscription service, where basically you sign up for things like toothbrush heads, and you say, well, I'd like them every 6 months. And they will ship you automatically, you don't have to think about it, a new one every 6 months.
It goes quite nicely with the Amazon coffee order, really, doesn't it?
Yep, and you get a discount. So you get between 5 and 10%, depending on how much you buy from them on subscription. Anyway, so there are various types of brush heads, some for kids, some for adults, so that's things to look at. So features to look at when you're buying these, what type of brush heads they are. Like I said, kids-specific ones are available. The brush head speeds and mode settings.
So that's normally if you've got something like particularly sensitive teeth.
Yep.
You might want it just a little bit more gentle.
Check if it's got a gentle mode. Some of them have got built-in timers, which will aim to get you towards that dentist recommended minimum 2 minutes cleaning time.
Yes. Yeah. treat those with a little bit of a pinch of salt in my case. Mine, as it sort of runs down a bit, the timers get a bit longer, so I'm not quite sure I'd trust those.
Now, some of them have got an external wireless display with a timer on it that will actually count seconds, so you can actually see a real time in front of you. You got to 1 minute 58, and you've got only 2 seconds to go.
So let's quickly do the other three corners of your mouth.
Something like that, yes. Like I said, the more expensive £130 type range, that includes a whole lot of extra accessories, like a travel charger, which can charge it on the go. Also, some of them have USB chargers, because we've all got USB ports kicking around to charge things off. Travel cases. Some of them have got UV sanitizers to sanitize the brush heads and so on. All sorts of crazy things like that as well.
Lots of things to look at. We've just got a minute or so left, so let's quickly talk about the, I guess this is more the for men section, the electric razors.
Yeah.
Because there's two different types, aren't there? There's the ones which effectively have a cylinder with a blade that shifts up and down.
And right, yeah.
And then there's the other ones which spin round and round, he says, knocking the pop shield beautifully.
So you're spinning round and round on your chair, isn't
exactly.
It?
You have like to do the hand baby gestures, yes. And some people prefer some, and some people prefer the others, don't they?
I mean, I've tried both. I started with the rotary head action and switched to the foil action because I found it actually handled thicker hair better. So it's just a personal preference. It's something you've got to try. And, most of the manufacturers and most of the bigger pharmacies will let you return things like that if you aren't happy with it the first time.
Just watch out. Some of them do have the hygiene seal on them, but obviously once you've broken that, then it's you keep it.
Yeah.
And that's reasonable enough.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think that's about all we've got time for.
Okay, podcast will be up in a day or so. We'll tweet about that at Cambridge 105, and you're back in a fortnight.
I'm back at about 10 o'clock this evening for the weekend waffle.
Weekend waffle.
In a fortnight, it's Children in Need, so we're going to be doing a gadget grab from somewhere on their car park, I think.
Sainsbury's, I think.
Probably, yes.
Yes. Sainsbury's?
Yes.
Normally.
We might have to invade the supermarket for gadgets.
Oh, that might be fun. Oh, look forward to that. Okay, see you then.